This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Alva Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out again at this time, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners, blazing the path to the hearts of our listeners, those who hear these broadcasts. And I'm happy to be back with you this morning. The Lord has been gracious to us. We're looking at this study on the second coming of the Lord, and we're coming there to the close of it. But we were looking in our last study at what takes place after the Lord is seated on his throne there in Jerusalem. And let's go back. There we saw there to be no more rich people, no poor people, equal distribution of all the wealth in the world, and the land, it will be bountifully, all of the fruits and vegetables and things. He said the reaper will overtake the sower. And now let's look. Then once a year the nations shall send their representatives to Jerusalem to return thanks for all the blessings that were bestowed upon us. It will be a universal national Thanksgiving. We think about Thanksgiving Day here once a year, set aside, eat turkey and dressing and those things. But this will be a universal Thanksgiving all over the nations, all over the land. Be no sickness, no diseases. Doctors and undertakers will lose their business. There'll be no more outbreaking of sin and violence like we see in today. It's hard to fathom, isn't it? It's hard to fathom now. There will be no courts, no prison, no hangman's rope, no electric chair, no needles in the arm. The Lord himself will rule, and he will rule in righteousness with a rod of iron and dash in pieces and break all opposition as a potter's vessel. He'll put down all rule and authority and reign in peace. If anyone rebels against him or tells him a lie, he will die in his tracks. As Psalm 107 says, he that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. It will be a reign based on righteousness and law. Oh, my friend, don't you long for that day where there'll be righteousness and law instead of lawlessness? We have lawlessness that's unabounded now, every day, everywhere, every night. Just killings, raping, mugging, all of those things. According to God's word, human life will be prolonged. There will be no more infant days. There will be, the Bible says, that a sinner who dies 100 years old will be considered an infant, but he will die accursed, and that his death will be the seal of God's judgment. Yes, men will live to be thousands of years old like they did before the flood. Do you ever stop to think that there were what it will mean to the human race and what development there will be of the knowledge and power of man? For 1,000 years, this government of Christ will last. 1,000 years of peace, 1,000 years of divine glory and ever-increasing splendor, 1,000 years in which the deity of Christ shall shine forth throughout his humanity. Just think, the government and kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. Then, get this, then Satan will be loosed out of his prison for a little season, and then will be cast into the lake of fire forever, and there will be no end to the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I've always wondered about that, how that Satan would be loosed for a little season. That's not for me to know, but I believe we'll know. I believe we'll know then. My friend, let me confront you with these questions. Let's go into this now. Do you know the Lord? Are you resting in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you ever come to see the place? Have you ever been there to that place where you found yourself to be lost? Have you ever been condemned to die and faced him as a condemned sinner? Do you know what it means to be pardoned, forgiven of all your sins? Do you know what it means to know the Lord and Jesus, Lord and as Savior and Lord? I'm not trying to embarrass anyone. Do you know what it means for him to be in you, the hope of glory, as we saw last week? Have you been washed in the blood? We sang that gracious old song here, Washed in the Blood. Do you know what it means to be a child of the living King and the living God? You can know that now, my friend. You don't have to wait till the Lord comes to know him. No, you can know the Lord. Do you know what it means to look up in the face of the Lord and call him my Father, Abba Father, because you've been redeemed by the blood of Christ? Is Christ a living reality to your heart? So many folks have joined the church in their early childhood, drifted off, many of them into gross sin, and then came back to the church. In some manner, you have been brought to dedicate your life anew to the Lord and have become religious. Seemingly, you love the Lord, love the Word, but you miss the Lord. You cannot but go back to the time and the place when you were saved. But you're always going back to the time when you dedicated your life. I know folks have told me those things. You're not magnifying the Lord in salvation. You're not talking about Christ who died for you, who washed you in the blood. But you're talking about your dedication. You're talking about your church. You're talking about your pastor. You're talking about your building programs and all of those things that we see so much of. Then folks get mad at me when I call your attention to the fact and I ask the question, have you gotten to the Lord? Oh, my friend, you better make your calling and election sure. I asked you to do that kindly and gently. The greatest thing in this life, folks, is to know the Lord, is to come to know the Lord in the forgiveness of sin. You know, I've always wondered why folks think it's a shame to know the Lord or to be saved. I'm not talking about just going to church. Oh, my friend, the church. You know what a church is, my folks? The church is a group of called out individuals. They don't have to have a building with a steeple and a bunch of things, a big organ and all. You don't have to have that. No. I remember early on in my life when I was first awakened to my lost condition as a sinner under the ministry of the Pastor Shelton. We had mission places. We called them preaching places up and down the south coast here in Louisiana, Mississippi, and our Alabama. And we had preaching places. We'd go to someone's home, and I'd drive him a lot of time around. Others would. And we'd have service, maybe four families, maybe five. Once in a while, we'd start a little place there, buy a building. We have one in Baton Rouge, one in Mobile, one in Hattiesburg, one in Picayune, Mississippi, and other places, Orley, Alabama, San Benito, Texas. And those folks would come together on a Sunday night or Wednesday night mostly and have service. Oftentimes, we'd play a tape by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton or one of the other brethren, and we would worship there, sing a song, and praise the Lord. And, my friend, that was what we had, church. That was our church. It wasn't a big, tall steeple, none of those things. So much as all of these ornate buildings that they have now. I read in the paper where some man donated to a church there in California $15 million, and they built what they call a silver cathedral. And that preacher moved on. I think he had some little problem, and then turned it over to his daughter. Got a woman preacher there now, I hear. But, my friend, that's not a church. That's just a place of assembling. I'm talking about where God's people get together. But it's been good to have been with you in these studies. Before we close, we've got a couple more days. We want to bring you some thoughts on under another topic, maybe you want to call it. But I wanted to look at something that I call my Father's house. Oh, you ever read John 14? Listen, that night, it was on that night, after the Lord had eaten the feast of the Passover, and they instituted the Lord's Supper, they sung a song, and which he with his disciples was on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. What a story we could tell there, my friend. Have you ever read that story, taking it seriously? The Lord instituted the Lord's Supper with his disciples there, and went out and turned to his troubled disciples and said, "Now listen, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you." Or could take that as take you by force. I'll come again and take you by force unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We're looking at that a little bit in that earlier in our study of how when the Lord comes back. Oh, my friend, what comforting thoughts and what consolation to troubled hearts as they face the darkest of nights, that their blessed Lord was going away. Should first prepare a place for them, and then come again and take them by force, deliver them with his power, and lead them into his Father's house. So we're looking at this time at my Father's house, that new heaven and the new earth. In my Father's house, oh, my friend, let me ask you, I'm an old country boy, born and raised here in the South in an old country home. So I ask you, have you ever went back home? Every one of us, as we grow up, if our fathers and mothers were living, would always like to return, turn our footstep back towards home. The water from the old well would taste a little bit cooler, a little better than it would from any other well. The old big spring down at the root of a tree. Food from my mom's cupboard always tasted a little better. Fried chicken, chicken and dumplings, and then a cake, my friend. Oh, and apple pie, pecan pie, nose thing, a little bit better. Did you ever anticipate that? I did. I have. I like to go home. My mother and dad are both deceased now. But, my friend, I still like to go by there. I remember very well my dad was killed in a violent accident. And after the funeral and all, every night, every evening when I came home from work before he died, I always stopped by his house and drank coffee with him and across the road from where I live. And then after he was gone, I'd come home from work in the afternoon, and my old car seemingly just wanted to turn up in that driveway because I wanted to see my dad. Oh, my friend, it's not anything wrong with being, if you call it nostalgic, is it? No. You ever shed a tear, my friend? You know what? Do you good. Do you good to shed a tear, my friend, now and then. Wipe it away on your cheek, on your shirt sleeve. But, my friend, the Lord is so gracious to the old trailblazer. It's been my honor and my privilege to serve the Lord now for a lot of time, a long time. And I'm getting on down to those evening shadows there. And look forward to going home. Look forward to the Lord coming to get me. Would you pray for me? I'll be back tomorrow with another study on my Father's home. Goodbye, and God bless you.